Good morning. This is Emily Austin for the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and this is Faithfully Memphis. Each week we have the opportunity to talk with interesting people who are doing interesting things here in Memphis. And today, I am delighted to have in the studio with me artist and a good friend of mine, Bill Branch. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here with me. And I have to tell you, Happy New Year. It's a Happy New Year.
It is a Happy New Year.
Now, some people who might be listening in right now are like, what? This is December. We're not at the new year yet. But we actually came into a new church year on Sunday. We are now in the season of Advent. So
correct.
Happy Advent.
Happy Advent to everyone out there, and happy Advent to you, Emily.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. So Advent is a special time of year when people across the Christian community start to observe, you start to see garlands and Christmas trees, and you see manger scenes and all of these things that are heralding the Christmas season that is going to be coming up on December the 25th. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, right? That we're not in the church calendar, we're not in the Christmas season yet. We're in the Advent season. So Advent is a season of the liturgical year that is observed in most Christian denominations as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the Nativity of Christ and Christmas and the return of Christ at the Second Coming. And it is the beginning of the liturgical year in Western Christianity, and it's part of the wider Christmas and holiday season. The season of Advent is the Christian calendar anticipates the coming of Christ from three different perspectives: the physical nativity in Bethlehem, the reception of Christ in the heart of the believer, and the eschatological second coming. So that's kind of a big word for the that we won't get into the big theology of today. But so, Bill, what are some of your favorite Advent traditions?
For me, it is what we call the Advent wreath.
Mm-hmm.
And if you observe Advent, most folks have this at home. It's a circular ring or something similar to that, where four different candles are placed in there to represent the 4 weeks of Advent. It will have greenery around it, and like I said, the four candles have a significance. They're different colors.
Yeah.
They can be a sort of a maroon or a violet. Nowadays, they're even including blue,
and
I like blue. There will be one candle in the Advent wreath that is totally different.
Yes.
It is pink.
Yes.
Years and years, maybe centuries ago in the church, Advent was more a very, very serious tradition, and there was not a pre-Christmas happening all around them. And so they got very serious about what you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time for people to slow down, stop, reflect, expect the coming of Christ.
Yes.
And so there was one Sunday, the third Sunday, when some of the possible restrictions that might have been put on you were lifted, and that pink candle represents that particular Sunday, which is the third Sunday.
Also known as Gaudete.
Gaudete.
Yeah.
Gaudete Sunday, yes, which comes from, it's a Latin word, and the one of the prayers at Sunday is something about stir up.
Yes.
And at my house, we actually make cranberry and orange breads.
Oh, nice.
To give for Christmas gifts.
Yes.
And so they are made on that Sunday afternoon because we are stirring up the yeah. batter of the cranberry bread. Other traditions for me would be the songs that are sung, mm-hmm. the hymns. Some of the most special hymns in our hymnal were written for the season of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear them, they evoke memories of my past Advents and singing in choir.
Yeah.
Well, one of the more famous ones that some people may know is O Come, O Come, yes. Emmanuel.
Yes.
So the music, the decorating the home with the Advent wreath.
Mm-hmm.
We always have what's called an Advent calendar, and some people may have seen these. They mm-hmm. are kind of fun.
Yeah.
They start on December 1st mm-hmm. and go to the 24th of December.
Yes.
They are made out of cardboard. They'll have a beautiful scene on the front of them, but they have little doors, windows.
Yeah.
And each day of December, you open that little door, and there'll be a scripture passage mm-hmm. which begins to tell you the story of the Nativity.
I think that it's very readily accessible right now, that if you want to get an Advent calendar, you can get them at a lot of different stores, like just wherever you look around. In fact, sometimes you can easily find one that has, when you open the doors, it's not necessarily scripture, but there might be a little piece of chocolate or something. But, it's important to remember that we're not just counting down to the gifts and Santa Claus who's coming right. on, but we're also counting down to we're walking the steps of Advent to the coming of Christ and right. the birth of Christ. And in fact, something you said earlier when I was, kind of centering myself around my Advent practice ahead of the season, I was reminded in some of my reading that traditionally and historically, the season of Advent is actually really, really similar to, I think, the way that we as Christians observe Lent nowadays, mm-hmm. where there's a real feeling of, quiet and abstinence and just centering ourselves around peace, and maybe that is that seems so foreign to me now.
Correct.
Growing up in our culture, and especially we all joke that this is the most wonderful time of the year, and it's also the most hectic and busy, and we're trying to get all of our work done. The Advent season leading up to Christmas can really be a stressful time.
It can.
But I think that when we center our hearts around the quiet and thinking about what is to come, that can make it a little bit more palatable and a lot more enjoyable, I hope.
Right.
You mentioned the music of Advent. One of the things that probably a lot of our listeners would notice when they're driving around town is a lot of our churches have lessons and carols services throughout the Advent season. A lot of time, I've already seen a lot of churches that have a big sign that they'll be having lessons and carols in the next several weeks. Those are services where there are different gospel passages that are read, and different Old Testament passages that talk about the coming of Christ, and then we sing beautiful music that celebrate that Advent and that coming of Christ. So
I've participated in a lot of lessons and carols in my lifetime. They're wonderful because they're like little time capsules where the scripture does take you back to Genesis, the creation, and then all the different steps forward. Yeah. There will be a reading, and then there will be music. and it does lead up, but does when they're in Advent, they don't actually talk about the Nativity quite yet. But
yeah.
there's a wonderful song that's sung in most of those services at the end, which is called "Once in Royal David's City," which I mean that anthem can just bowl you over. It's so meaningful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the 24th is the famous Lessons and Carols from England and the King's Chapel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, later on in the show, I'll talk a little bit about a few of the Lessons and Carols that services that are coming up in our churches, in our Episcopal churches, over the next several weeks. So if you'd like to, if folks who are listening would like to hear and be in those, like just take in that beautiful music, those will be some great opportunities to do it. Well, I am excited to be able to kick off the Advent of the Advent season here on Faithfully Memphis. And right now we'll go to a break and then we'll return with more with artist Bill Branch. And we're back. Welcome back to Faithfully Memphis. This is Emily Austin, and I am the Minister of Communication for the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee. And today on the show, I am delighted to have with me my friend and co-parishioner at Church of the Holy Communion, Bill Branch. And Bill is also an artist who has provided the artwork this year for the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee's Christmas card. We talked to Bill. We knew Bill had just amazing artistic chops as a watercolor artist, and we knew we wanted to send out something really special, and so we commissioned some art from him, and we love it so much, and we'll get a chance to talk about that artwork today, but we loved it so much that we're going to make some extra prints of it and have those for sale this weekend at the Advent Arts Market at the Barth House Episcopal Center. But first, I really want to just talk to Bill about his artistic journey, his spiritual journey, and all the things that fall within those parameters. Hey, Bill.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well, doing well.
Again, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're most welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, tell me a little bit about the role that faith has played in your life as an artist, as a human being, as just as Bill Branch.
Okay. I can do that for you. It's always been there.
Yeah.
Faith has. I am the descendant of an ancestor who was a traveling Methodist minister.
Yeah.
Back in the late 19th century.
Mm.
He is born in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
He fights in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a chaplain, but he's a soldier in the Civil War. But he always has the calling from God for ministry in the Methodist Church. So he begins to raise his family, and the whole United States is moving westward, and all the denominations, you know, are trying to save souls and gather them to their churches, and he was definitely all about that. As a matter of fact, I think he was called a soldier for the Lord. Soldier for the Lord. So,
I mean, if you're going to be a soldier, that's a good thing to be a soldier for.
I never knew him. Of course, he was gone before I was born. But I did hear from aunts and ancestors, very much a fire and brimstone kind of guy, they were in those days.
Yeah, that
and
they had kind of part and parcel back then.
Yeah, because in that part of the world, in Southwest Arkansas, it was rough and tumble, and you know, to get somebody to convert, you know, was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have him back there, and I think that belief or that faith has come down to me.
Yeah.
Even as a little boy, we didn't go to church very often, but we went to the Methodist church.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up here in Memphis?
I am in Arkansas.
Gotcha.
I'm in Arkansas. Moved to Memphis about 20 years ago.
Okay.
The church itself, stained glass windows. I'm a visual person. You know? Those would impress me. All of that would, and I knew that even at a very young age that I would participate in church and that faith was important to me. Mm-hmm. Wanted to learn more about it, and I did. And then as I became an adult, mm-hmm. I struggled a little bit, and I think a lot of people do, as to which church would I go to and which would I want to participate in and which closely fits with what I believe. This is unusual, maybe not unusual, but as an adult, I had, you know, an ability to sing in choir.
Yeah.
I had done that in high school. A friend of mine was a church organist at a Catholic church,
mm-hmm.
and it was a downtown church where there were not many people to make a choir out of.
Yeah.
So he invited his friends to come sing in the choir. And he invited me, so I started attending Mass.
Yeah.
And it got me hooked. I eventually
went... Like the liturgy?
Yeah. I went through what they call their catechism,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
became a Catholic as an adult.
Yeah.
And was that for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, Catholic churches, I guess... the largest Christian denomination mm-hmm. in the world, but it has its flaws. It has mm-hmm. its wonderful things about it. Gosh, I met many wonderful people in that church, mm-hmm. but I was actually looking for a church, and that became the Episcopal church for me.
Yeah.
So I was what is called received,
yes.
which means that you've already done your baptism and mm-hmm. confirmation and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and have loved every minute since then of being an Episcopalian, worshiping, singing in choir, participating. I retired from full-time work 5 years ago
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
and I have more time to do whatever I want to, and so built a new home. And, built a new home.
Beautiful home in Cooper Young.
It is in Cooper Young. The entire second floor of our home is my art studio.
Oh,
now, I know it's great to.
And I'm salivating a little bit. It sounds wonderful.
It has wonderful light that comes in, and there's lots of room for my books. People will walk into my studio and they'll say, "Where are the easels and the drop cloths?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, no, not in watercolor.
Yeah,
We don't use those."
Yeah, because that's your primary medium that you're working in. Yeah.
From faith back over to art, I did study art mm-hmm. In college. I was preparing to be a secondary education teacher in Spanish, of all things.
Wow, I did not know that about you.
Yeah, which... Today, Spanish is a very, very, very important language in the United States. In those days and times, you know, it was a little unusual to be, but pretty much every high school had a Spanish teacher. I thought was for me. Got into college, did all the work to become a Spanish teacher, but also was taking art at the same time.
Yeah.
Because art has always been there. I'm a visual person. And, gosh, I have some drawings and things that I did when I was 6 or 7 years old.
People who are listening, we don't have a video component to this, but if we did, you'd see me just nodding along because so much of what you're saying just resonates with me so much because, in addition to all the, normal day-to-day work that I do, I love being able to use my hands at the end of the day and do something creative and have a space to really explore that just tangible. And so
right.
Amen.
I think it's great for everyone. I teach watercolor, and mm-hmm. I hear people say something to me like, well, I can't draw a stick man. That's okay if you can't, you know.
There's an art in everything.
Right, right. Art is in everything in our world.
Yeah.
I would do art a little bit from time to time while working full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Gifts for people, usually.
Yes, same.
And 1996, I went on a spiritual pilgrimage to Italy. And
yet another reason for me to be jealous of you.
That was the most wonderful trip because I've spent many, many years looking in art books of the great works of art of the Italian Renaissance. And, you know, you see it in a book, but to see the real thing. So here I am in museums looking at Michelangelo's Pietà or the Sistine Chapel, you know, and that you have to really crick your neck to see it. But it has been, or at that time, it had been recently cleaned, so the colors it were like jumping out at me. I realized that art is a gift that was given to me by God.
Yeah.
And when I got home from that pilgrimage, I thought, no longer are the brushes and the paper and the paints going to lay there still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick them up and really start using them. And I did. I seriously, you know, created art, took time to create art, and then decided that, you know, this is something that as a gift that I need to pass on to others. So I've had some success.
I have to co-sign on that it is a gift, and it's a gift that you're sharing with a lot of people. You know, we're both parishioners and part of the community at Church of the Holy Communion, and several years ago you did a beautiful watercolor of the nave, and every time I look at it, I just it's a beautiful space on its own,
right.
But I think that the lens that you cast it through, it just makes me feel just, it's that ineffability,
right?
And that is probably part of the reason why when Bishop Phoebe and I and the rest of our diocesan staff were thinking about, okay, what do we want to do for Christmas this year? We want to send a card that is special and specific to who we are as a community of faith here in Memphis and Shelby County. And we said, we need to talk to Bill. We need to talk to Bill, because that gift that you so generously share, you can't mistake it. You can't miss it.
I appreciate that. I also appreciate the commission that was given to me, you know, to make the cover art for the card.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that art? Because you could probably do it a lot better than I can.
Okay. You all came to me, you know, you said, would you do this? I said, I would be happy to do it. And you sort of left it open at that, and I was trying to conceptualize, which, you know, artists have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Before I ever start a watercolor painting, I actually have it kind of finished in my head before I put the first brush mark down. And so I was tossing around some ideas and sent them to you, and you and Bishop Phoebe came back to me and said, well, Bill, we have something a little different in mind that we would like to have for this. You requested a Madonna, Mary and Jesus, the baby Jesus. I've seen many of those in my lifetime.
Yeah,
you know, that
definitely.
That's a traditional
after
scene.
I mean, after having spent some time in Italy, I think you probably got your fill.
Right. So you both tell me that you wanted to go off in a bit of a different direction, and that it would be your desire that the skin tones, and that the perhaps the ethnic look of Mary and the baby Jesus would be more African American than the traditional Caucasian Madonna yeah. that we're so used to, which piqued my interest. It really did. I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. I did a lot of research. I knew that I wanted them to be facing each other, mm-hmm. where the Christ child is looking up at her. Mm-hmm. And so that is the scene. This finished work looks an awful lot like a religious icon.
Yeah, that's... I would co-sign that as well.
Yeah. An icon is used very much in the Eastern Church, where they do not have three-dimensional art in mm-hmm. their churches. Mm-hmm. And they actually call, when they make an icon, and of course, for years it was the priests or scribes or whatever made these for decorating Eastern Orthodox churches, mm-hmm. they write an icon. They don't paint or draw an icon, meaning that it's a spiritual process that they go through to make an icon. So I got the got what it would look like. I thought about the colors that it mm-hmm. would have, and began the painting in watercolor. It's very different than oil paint. Very mm-hmm. very different than oil paint. Watercolor has a mind of its own.
Yes. I took a watercolor class in college, and I have... It kind of cracks me up that in school, as a child, you know, you always get... you get your little Crayola watercolor set. Right. It's not a simple medium to work in at all. Correct. So I have... High respect.
Right.
High respect.
Many years of practice.
Yeah.
I decided a long time ago that watercolor was for me. In college, I took drawing, painting, you know, all those mm-hmm. traditional things. And you're in a room with about 20 people, and they are painting in oil, mm-hmm. and the windows are all closed up, and the linseed oil, the paint itself, and the turpentine would give me just horrible headaches. You know, it's just like, I like what oil does, but when I was introduced to watercolor, there is no smell to that. All you need, I say in my little class, all you need a sheet of paper, some paint, some brushes, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So when I am creating...
Don't even need a lot of time.
No. I get a painting done. When I'm outside working, an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I like to have it done in an hour. The Christmas card painting took several days because I added some things to it.
Yeah.
I started out in the background letting watercolor, what I call, do its thing, mm-hmm. which we paint on paper. We don't mm-hmm. paint on canvas. And so I reserve parts of the paper that needed to stay white by taping them away, and then I got the entire sheet of paper wet, got colors, and you just touch it to the wet paper, it bleeds and runs and goes where it wants to.
And
that's in the background of this painting. And then of course there's a whole lot more detail work in the figures, but Mary and the Christ child have halos in this icon.
And you used gold leaf.
I did use gold leaf.
And you told me that it was your first time using gold leaf.
I had never... I've seen gold leaf used, but I'd never tried it myself. That's a little more difficult in itself, too. Mm-hmm. It is real gold. I'm not sure of the carat value of it, but it's thin, thin sheets of gold. Mm-hmm. And you spray an adhesive down mm-hmm. where you want it to stay. And then you apply the gold leaf and you sort of rub it and burnish it on there. I think it made a very, very beautiful effect.
I agree. It's really just a stunning piece of artwork.
Thank you.
that we are really, really proud to be able to share with everyone who is on our Christmas card list this year.
Good.
We also are, you know, that kind of segs into if this sounds like something that you at home would like to have a piece of, we have had several, we've done a short run of prints of this beautiful iconographic art that Bill has created, and we've had them made into prints, and those will be available at the Advent Arts Market this Saturday, December the 4th. At the Barth House Episcopal Center, and you can purchase one of those, and all of the proceeds are going to go to the ministry of the Barth House Episcopal Center. And in a few minutes, we'll have the Reverend Sarah Cowan on the show to talk a little bit more about what they're doing over there. But, you know, we're just really, really grateful to you, Bill, for sharing your art and sharing that work. And tell me a little bit about, you know, one of the things you said about iconographic art is that you write an icon. How does that compare to the work, the spiritual work that you probably did in painting and creating this piece and in creating other religious tone pictures and pieces.
Yeah. I think there is a time when you are thinking about what the finished product would look like. And so I entered this into sort of a prayerful mode where I thought, this particular image that I am about to create will be seen by hopefully lots and lots of people. And I want to share a message or stir up in them some sort of spiritual engagement with the art when mm-hmm. they look at it. That goes with pretty much all of my art, even if it's not of a religious nature. My favorite way to paint is to go outdoors and paint directly a landscape scene. And when I'm sitting there painting, I am thinking to myself, I want to share with the viewer what I was feeling at that particular moment. And so the religious, and I've done several, one of the first ones that I did was called Spirit Descending, and I think mm-hmm. it was for a show at Gray St. Luke's that dealt with Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
and I created a painting that hung over there. It's a dove with lots of reds and all kinds of different yellows, gold colors in the background. That those kinds of things speak to people. And so before I ever start a painting, I don't think about this a lot, but I do go through a process where I think, what will the finished product look like and how will it engage the viewer? The icon that I created, I definitely entered that prayerfully, where I thought, you know, I don't know how this, we never know exactly how, you know, because like I said, I call working with watercolor is like a love-hate relationship, because it can go in any direction and you can ruin one, you know. But thank goodness they're on paper.
Yes.
We watercolorists, we have a little saying, don't get so worked up about it. You just turn it over on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, paint another painting on the other side. We have some tricks. We have some methods that we can use. We can control it a little bit. But I love the spontaneity of watercolor.
Yeah.
Also on the painting that we're talking about, mm-hmm. that I I finished it up by placing some calligraphy at the top of
it. Yes, yes.
A lot of paintings, especially in the Renaissance, will have a banner with beautiful script kind of on it. In calligraphy, I wrote out the motto of the which is the motto of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee.
Yes.
It's written in Latin and it's written in English.
Yes.
And it is Ubique Inter Flumina, which means between the rivers.
That's right.
And the geographical boundaries of this diocese, east and west, would be the Tennessee River, and the west boundary would be the Mississippi River.
Yes, so, that's right. That's us.
And all of those colors that kind of flow and blend in the background represent water and rivers. There.
Well, I know that our listeners are probably really wanting to see it. We'll have, I'll make sure that we post some pictures on our social media so that you can see it, or you can come to the Advent Arts Market again on Saturday. I almost said September. Good grief. On Saturday, December the 4th, in just a few days, and take a look of it, take a look at it, and pick up a print for yourself. Bill, thank you so much for joining me this morning. I want to, so you have a website. People can learn more about you and your art at www.billbranchstudios.com. Is that a .com?
Just one studio.
Oh, perfect.
Billbranchstudio.com. Yes.
Great.
There, within there, can learn more about my background. Mm-hmm. You will see examples of paintings which are older now. Emily, I know that you know that keeping a website is like, I call it taking care of a baby. It's got to be attended to every day.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a
not
lot.
I'm not so good at attending to my website, but it's there. There is a it has a method where you can contact me.
Yeah.
If you want to see my latest, whatever I might be working on, the latest would be
on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
And that's it. If you just look up Bill Branch Studio on Facebook, you'll find everything having to do with Bill and his gorgeous art. Wonderful.
All right.
Well, we'll go to a break and then we'll be right back. I am now joined in the studio with the Reverend Sarah Cowan. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Emily. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. So we, in the last couple segments, we've been talking about the Advent Arts Market that is coming up in just a couple days at the Barth House. Bill Branch, who is an artist here in Memphis, some of his work will be available for purchase. The reason that we're doing this is we're doing this inaugural event is all for the Barth House. And I think it's been a second since we last talked a lot about on Faithfully Memphis about the Barth House. I think it's actually been about a year, if my archives are correct, Reverend Noah Campbell was on the show talking about the Barth House. And what a year it has been, hasn't it?
Wow, it really has. And I'm really delighted to be here and to share a little bit about what we're doing at the Barth House.
Yeah.
I'm newly ordained clergy here in the Diocese of West Tennessee. So I'm joining Noah Campbell, Reverend Dr. Noah Campbell,
yes.
Who has been working with the Barth House Project for the past year or so. So I just joined this summer, but we're really excited about the potential and all that we've accomplished so far with the Barth House Episcopal Center at the University of Memphis. This is a center that was started in 1967.
Yes.
Actually built in 1967 and has some beautiful mid-century architecture, but had sort of fallen into dormancy, I guess, and a little bit of a quiet phase the last 10 years.
Yeah.
The building needed some renovations, and so I'm so excited that the diocese committed to doing a major renovation And restarting the programming. So
restarting the program in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, I'll withhold my comments today. but y'all are going strong.
We really are. It's so exciting to see college and young adult ministry alive and well in this diocese. And I know many people are to be thanked for that, particularly our bishop, Bishop Phoebe, who really had jumped on that vision, and many other supporters. But we have sort of officially started. The building had a major gut and renovation, and so now it's a beautiful facility. For those who don't know, we are located right at the corner of Patterson and Watauga, 409 Patterson, right by the University of Memphis.
I mean, yeah, you are on campus but off campus.
Just barely.
I was over there yesterday around the lunch hour, and you're going to get some of that. You're in the thick of it.
It's really fun to be able to be in that facility and be so connected to students and see students and faculty and mm-hmm. staff walking by each and every day, and to invite them in. And I should make the point here that
y'all don't just serve the University of Memphis.
That's right. The facility is located at the University of Memphis, but we are designed to serve college and university communities from all over the diocese. And so that, of course, means Rhodes College, Christian Brothers University, Southwest Community College,
Lemoyne-Owen,
and even things that are not more tech, even universities that are not in the immediate area like Lane College and Union University. We seek to provide space and programming for all those communities, and we are starting with some baby steps and growing, and it's been very exciting.
Steps and baby bends, maybe a little bit. on Thursday nights, y'all have been doing something special.
Exactly. So part of our program, we really see the space as multi-faceted. So there is a chapel and venue space in our great hall. We have a weekly noonday service. Anybody is invited to come receive Eucharist and have some quiet prayer time. And we are grateful to the many guest preachers who have come each week throughout the diocese. But that space in the Great Hall is also designed to be used as a venue space. And so we've had film screenings. We've had... we anticipate that we can show a Tiger basketball game. We can, do all sorts of different musical events, things like that. But yes, on Thursday nights, we have used our space both for evening prayer. We mm-hmm. are partnered with a seminarian from the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which we are in full communion with as the Episcopal Church. And so Adam leads evening prayer every night at 5:30.
Wow.
And then we follow with yoga. Yoga, but it's free.
Yay. I was going to say that's a magical word for any college student, I am a 40-year-old woman and I love the
you need to come. And yoga, it's open to anybody. So we have a wonderful yoga instructor, Kathy Thordarson. And through a generous grant, we are offering that to anybody who shows up. And so bring your yoga mat, water bottle, and just come at 6:00 on Thursdays.
Mind, body, and spirit. So you can get your cultural fill during one of the film screenings and the art shows. You can get your fitness fill during yoga. And students can get their tummies filled on Sunday nights, right?
That's the other component that we're doing in terms of our programming right now. So we offer free meal of generally delicious home-cooked meals on Sunday nights, and that's for all local college students. just to come and show up.
It's good stuff.
It
too.
Is delicious. We have been so fortunate to have volunteers from out throughout the diocese sign up to bring home cooked meals, or you know, sometimes people deliver from whatever local restaurant they want to. But so college students are invited to a meal on Sunday night at 6 p.m. and we generally do a little activity, like we carved pumpkins, Pictionary, just some sort of fun thing. And then we always close with a compline service.
So. Yeah, great. Well, so, you know, we can't offer all this wonderful free programming for free unless we have a little bit of support. And so that's one of the reasons behind the Advent Arts Market this weekend, right?
Exactly. And we're so excited to be able to offer this, as you said, inaugural event.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to make it annual. And it just all sort of came together in so many beautiful ways. But we're grateful to the artists who will be there, the vendors who will be selling their wares. This Saturday.
Yes.
December 4th.
So I think we have like 15 different artists and makers and vendors who will be there selling products that they made, starting at only like, I think it's as affordable as like $5, and you know, we have some higher end, more, you know, pricier things too, but there's going to be something for everybody at this event. And we'll even have the retro coffee and donut truck with us all day long. So we're thrilled for that as well. And the Memphis Symphony Orchestra will join us in the Great Hall at noon, right? For a performance.
That's right. We're very grateful to the Memphis Symphony Orchestra for loaning some performers, and they will be, so come during the whole day, but if you have to choose a time, come around noontime so that you can experience Christmas carols from the and Christmas music from the Memphis Symphony Orchestra performers.
And come and support the vendors and support yourself, because you know that this is a good time of year to really give back to your own community by supporting your local vendors, which are virtually untouched by the I feel like last year the term that we we're always turning to was during these unprecedented times.
Right.
Nowadays it's during the supply chain challenged times.
Yes.
Guess what? Everything's in stock. Everything that will be at the Advent Arts Market is available today. So you can take it home and give it to your...
That's perfect. And I think we'll have people that are just walking by that will enjoy stopping through, because, you know, this is designed to be mostly outside. We're going to say some prayers and cross our fingers.
We're going to figure out
some really good weather.
Yeah. So if those of you who are listening live are of the praying proclivity, if you want to toss a few into the weather on and also say a few prayers for those running the St. Jude Marathon as
well. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
But yeah, we need the clouds to part this Saturday.
That's right. We've been watching the weather, and we still anticipate that we'll be able to have most of the things outside, which makes everybody feel comfortable with COVID. But we may be able to move a few things inside and keep our doors open and things like that.
We'll be there regardless.
Regardless. Exactly.
Well, thank you, Sarah, so much for telling us a little bit, giving us an update on everything that's going on at Barth House. You know, I see firsthand the community that's being fostered, not just among college students, but just, you know, among the university community this hub, and the services that y'all are providing, not just the worship services, but keeping your doors open in a welcoming way, you know, as a place where we're going to love you no matter who you are, where you're coming from, what you look like, and who you love. That's something that I think really means a lot.
I'm really excited to be working in this ministry site. I wear two hats, and this is one of the hats that I wear. And it's, you know, university communities are such vibrant places.
Yeah.
And to be connected to places where students and faculty and staff are learning all the time is really special, and we invite everybody to be part of that.
Yeah. Well, again, the Advent Arts Market is, you can find it on our website, edwtn.org, and you can find it on Facebook, complete information with all of our vendors who are going to be there. You can learn more about the Barth House. You can, on social media, find Barth House Episcopal Center on Facebook and Instagram. And I think we have a website too, but go to social media. That's what the kids use, right?
That's right. Exactly. We do have a newsletter that you can sign up to if you want to receive, you know, about monthly, every 2 weeks, updates from Barth House.
Yeah. Send us your college kids and we'll make sure that they're loved. Thank you so much for tuning into Faithfully Memphis this week during our first week of Advent. This is Emily Austin, Minister of Communication for the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee. And if you like what you heard, be sure to share Faithfully Memphis with those that you care about. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're feeling especially generous, please log on to Apple Podcasts and give us a positive review. It helps us really share the word. Until next time, stay safe and stay positive. Bye.